Greetings, Saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you so much for joining us for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask you to give wisdom today and warning. Lord, of the judgments that are coming, you've given us a very clear signal here and a tremendous collection of the demonstration of the authority of God to show proof and truth to his saints. Thank you so much, Father. Amen. Okay, we're going to call this Escaping Judgment on the Enemy. That's right, Escaping Judgment on the Enemy. Judgment's coming, but it's coming on the enemy. As we've been shown, judgment created by the faction in government and church is running in parallel in order to attack the right wing and the right people. But as the scripture says in so many ways and in so many places, those who lay a trap fall into it themselves. Now, when God makes a commandment of something like this so many ways, it's going to happen. It's just going to happen. So it was with the text given to us today, as a matter of fact. Pharaoh went to kill the people of God at the Red Sea, but he and his army were the ones judged. The northern army in Joel 2 went to destroy Jerusalem, the bride, but it was they who were destroyed. Sennacherib also went to destroy Jerusalem, the bride, but was destroyed himself and his mighty men. And, of course, the examples go on and on. But we know that the word of the Lord is that those who lay the trap will fall into it themselves. For instance, Psalm 141, 9 and 10. Keep me from the snare which they have laid for me, for the gins of the workers of iniquity. Yes, the traps of the workers of iniquity, right? Let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst that I withal escape. Okay, folks, it's coming. You know it's coming. I know it's coming. We've learned a lot from the Lord about generalities, I would say, about its coming. And I think we're getting very close. I have some other revelations I want to share concerning that I think we're getting very close. Anyway, Psalm 57 and 6 says, they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me. They are fallen into the midst thereof themselves. Selah. Yes, and I know this is a fact. This is what's about to happen. The wicked are convinced by the demons in them, you know, that they're going to have victory, that they won't fail, that everything they do will be perfect. You know, it's been that way back through the false revival movement, and it was that way in the faction movement. The same thing. They have faith in their demon god that he's going to give them victory, but it never happens that way. Never. Psalm 7 and 15, he hath made a pit and digged it, and is fallen into the ditch which he made. 16, his mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violence shall come down upon his own pate. Proverbs 26 and 27. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it shall return upon him. Proverbs 28 and 10. Whoso causeth the upright to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit, but the perfect shall inherit good. And this is what we're talking about, is people who speak with demon words to other people to infect their heart with the same demons. It's a deadly disease, which we warned a lot against, and some have been warned and some have not, and some have fallen headlong into the same thing. But this love test is something that God ordained before the bride was chosen. And it's working just great. Matthew 7, 1 through 3, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, that is, however you measure it out, it shall be measured unto you. Galatians 6 and 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So we create our own future by the things that we do. And every man is judged by his own works, according to the Lord. And that is, of course, judging their faith. Because a person who has faith in the promises of God, faith in the nature that God has given us, they will walk away from evil. They will not be held by evil. Psalm 37, 14 and 15. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay such as are upright in the way. Their sword shall enter into their heart, their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. So, the condition, of course, is the people who are upright in the way. What is the way? It's the way of holiness that leads to Zion, which is the bride, right? Those who are walking in that way are safe. It says no beast can go up thereon, Isaiah said, right? They can't go on that way of holiness that leads to Zion. The wicked can't go there, and the beast cannot be there. So, basically, God is rejecting the beasts, you know, from the highway to Zion, the highway of holiness. You know, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den by the faction against him. But it was them and their families that were destroyed there. And Shalonda received this text this morning by faith at random. And it fits everything else that we got this morning, including dreams and things. Daniel 6, 16 and 17. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Of course, that was a factious group against him that was seeking to destroy him. And he was thrown into the den of lions, all right, but God showed his power. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Very good prophetic word from the king there. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, so that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. I don't know about you, but I fast every night, don't you? Neither were instruments of music brought before him. I don't get that either. And his sleep fled from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came near unto the den, to Daniel, he cried with a lamentable voice. The king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Well, thy God, whom thou servest continually, you know, is obviously what you have to be, right? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths. And They have not hurt me for as much as before him innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Okay. So, you know, we got all these by faith at random, all these verses, and watch how they fit together. Watch how they talk about the same thing. Watch how they defend us against the wicked thing that's going on out there. So the Lord didn't keep him out of the lion's den, but the lions couldn't bite him. Then was the king exceedingly glad. Well, let me back up just a little bit. It says, before him innocency was found in me. You know what? How long does it take a person to be innocent? Well, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. It doesn't take you long to be innocent. You know, a lot of people talk about people long time after they've run into a situation with them, long years even, and still they're the same person to them. But they don't know that. It doesn't take a person long to get right with God, if they were ever wrong to God with God in the beginning at all. But the factious are never right about that. They always judge the righteous, and they're never right. Because this is a demon seeking to destroy what the demons and the head demon himself, the devil, wants destroyed. And that is something that is destroying his kingdom. That's why they're furious against it. Then was the king exceedingly glad and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he had trusted in his God. Well, let me tell you, I've run across people that were trusting in gods, like the false revival movement, and it didn't save them. Of course, God couldn't answer them, because if he did, they would give credit to their false god, and they weren't worshiping him nor trusting in him. They were trusting in the Kundalini, for instance, you know, and the faction, of course, their faction god, their witchcraft god, same thing. God doesn't answer their prayers because of that. And there's a time of destruction coming. You don't want to be in the midst of destruction when God's not hearing your prayers. And the king commanded, and they brought those men that had accused Daniel, those factious people, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces before they came to the bottom of the den. If you remember in Matthew 18, the evil servant who judged his fellow servant unworthy of forgiveness was condemned with his family to prison. And it's been the same way with the faction. I've been amazed that it usually goes from the father, who is leading his family wrong, to the wife and to the children. Sad but true. And they're in prison. You know, Jesus came to set the captives free from prison. What kind of prison was he talking about in Isaiah 61, right? Well, it was a prison of demonic bondage, the tormentors in prison. And Jesus said, of course, everyone who doesn't forgive their brother from the heart, they'll be delivered over the tormentors till they pay. And you can see it. You can see it's happening. God's been consistent with his word. It's working clearly every time. Then King Darius wrote unto all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Folks, this miracle is going to do something in the world. It's going to be a mighty witness. When the deep state goes down and the faction in the church goes down, the world is going to look and take notice. Then King Darius wrote unto all the peoples, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. His dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. And who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? Whoa. Now, we got this dream that Merlene had on the 20th yesterday. And it's right on tune with just the same thing the Lord's done with us for so long. She said, it's Merlene Laughlin. She said, in a dream I heard rapid gunfire from automatic weapons several times. Then people screaming and other chaotic sounds in the distance. It was a city or a village behind us. It was nighttime and very dark, and everything was either gray or black. And I believe that this is representing darkness and death, a time of judgment. It sounds a lot like the Las Vegas assassination of the public right wing, right? That will obviously this one won't be covered up like that one was. And it's a pretty some of you may not know the story, but it's astounding. The deep state was involved, and the radical Muslims were involved, and they killed a bunch of people and wounded a lot more. But Merlene said, I was in a canoe. And I believe that the canoe here represents her part of the Ark of Safety. Sitting in the middle with a woman ahead of me and a woman behind me. I didn't know them. Never saw their faces. The woman ahead had a real sense of direction. She kept looking around as if she knew where to turn, like she had been down this river before. Well, I believe that that's the truth. She represents the corporate body of the reformer leadership leading the people through the curse represented by the water. And this curse is that judgment upon the wicked, as we're going to see. None of us spoke. We had to remain quiet. I knew each of us was silently praying in our own way. We have to pray to someone when we're in danger. As for me, I was praying in the Spirit. My life was in God's hands. The woman behind me was scared. Well, you know, perfect love casts out fear. But I believe that this woman behind her represents those among the apostates that will be caught by surprise, but are elect and will follow those that escape in order to grow up in the faith. So obviously that woman behind her was following her, and she was following the leadership, right? On this same day, by the way, we got revelations about the leadership. We'll share them a little further down. We were on a river that had varying widths and depths. The wide part was like four lanes of an interstate, and the narrowest was like a Tennessee country road with its blind turns. Yep, we know about them. And there it was again, that smell. It was from the guns, or was it from the fires? So they were fires and gunshots. We've seen the fires, haven't we? Purposely set by the same people we're talking about to punish people in certain areas that they wanted to punish. And of course the guns was for the same thing. They wanted to punish the right wing, and they did. And maybe hopefully a lot of people turned to the Lord from that example of the nature of this leadership. They did a good job of quietening down and shutting up the local sheriff, and etc., etc. You didn't hear any more about it. Even all the proof of helicopters being used and everything else. You didn't hear nothing about all that. Maureen said, I heard the paddle dip into the river. We had to be careful because of fallen trees. Well, I believe that this represents fallen people. She said, fallen trees of various sizes that were down along the river's edge. Why would it be along the river's edge? Well, I believe the river represents the curse, just like the waters under the ark represented the curse that killed the wicked, right? She said there was no foliage, meaning there was no ability to take in the sun or make fruit or anything like that. There was no foliage on the limbs. And some looked twisted. Well, we know about twisted people, yeah. And others broken off. Notice that. With a grotesque look. With the night. Well, that's a very good description of the wicked who are likened to trees in the Bible. No foliage. Twisted. Broken off. And grotesque. Working slowly, we did not want to get caught by jagged limbs that jetted out over the water. So they did not want to be judged among the wicked, right? More gray puffs of smoke. I heard a man shouting in the distance. Wonder if they'll use Puff the Magic Dragon, they call it, you know, which does put out a bunch of smoke, but it's from ammunition going off very fast. Then on the right, I saw a movement. I strained my eyes to see a young woman sitting on a fallen tree that was partially in the river. I somehow could tell she wore a long sleeve shirt and badly torn jeans. Her hair was in a ponytail, but some of it was in her face. Ponytails are for ponies, right? And you know what horses represent in the scriptures, right? The power of the beast, the works of the beast, right? Which men harness for to do things for them. And remember all the horse riders and the seals, right? Those represent, by the way, large groups of people that are harnessed to do certain things and bring certain judgments. But her hair being in her face reminded me of a lack of submission. You know, we're told that the hair is a sign of submission to our husband, right? And it represented a lack of submission to true authority, which has blinded their eyes. Was in her face. She had her left foot in the river. Well, representing the walk of a goat, right? The left and the foot. Where Jesus put the goats on the left, the sheep on the right. So it represents the walk of a goat on the left who is partaking of the curse represented by the water. The water which was under the ark that killed the wicked, right? But her right foot was caught somehow. Upon coming closer, her leg, and I believe that she represents a corporate body of people here, just like the three that were in the boat with Merlene, right? Who is partaking of the curse represented by the water. But her right foot was caught somehow. Upon coming closer, her leg is in the calf area had been impaled by a sharply broken branch. Impaled. A branch was sticking through her leg, right? And I believe that this is the judgment spoken by the branch, the man-child. And it is going to come upon people. It's been spoken. It's been tried to be destroyed by the wicked. The warnings have tried to be destroyed by the wicked. The website was tried to be destroyed by the wicked, etc. And it came out the front of the leg 10 inches or so. I believe that represents the judgment spoken by the law, which was represented by the Ten Commandments. She was frantically trying to pull her leg through the branch to set herself free. This is the only time I saw the color red in the dream, plus gray and black, and then I woke up. So there's going to be blood shed because of rebellion, the goats, against the word. And Merlene said, by the way, on August the 23rd, she had the same dream again. And you remember that Joseph said that when a dream is doubled, it's going to come to pass. Right? So she asked for a word by random for this dream, to represent this dream. And she got Proverbs 6 and 15. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly, and on a sudden shall he be broken, and that without remedy. We've had many dreams about wicked, factious people being killed in this. And we know some of them are going to be gone forever from God's kingdom. And some of them, I believe, even at the last minute, will turn to God. And we pray that many of them do, but we've been given revelations that a third of them will escape, and two-thirds will be put to death. The calamity to come on the faction in the government and in the church is what this is talking about. The calamity will come suddenly. Well, in context, let me read it to you. Proverbs 6, 12 through 19. A worthless person, a man of iniquity. Well, who is the iniquity? The son of perdition, right? Judas was the man of iniquity. Is he that walketh with a perverse mouth, that winketh with his eyes, speaketh with his feet, that maketh signs with his fingers. In other words, a deceiver. Things he wants to hide from some, but not from others. He is somebody who has caused faction because he's hiding things from some and revealing them to others. That's what he's doing. Verse 14 says, in whose heart is perverseness, who deviseth evil continually, who soweth discord. In other words, those who cause division or faction. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. On a sudden shall he be broken, and that without remedy. There are six things which the Lord hateth. He hateth. Yea, seven which are an abomination unto him. Now, a lot of sins aren't called abominations, but some people say all sins are the same, but that's ridiculous. Abomination appears to be the worst. An abomination unto him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, because all liars shall have their place in the lake of fire, all of them. And hands that shed innocent blood. In other words, they're guilty of the blood of the saints from whom they stole the food right out of their mouths and didn't care because they were turned over to a reprobate mind. A heart that devises wicked purposes. Feet that are swift in running to mischief. A false witness that utters lies. He that soweth discord among the brethren. Abominations to the Lord. What do you think he will do about it? Well, according to the revelations that we got today, as a matter of fact, there is wrath stored up that's going to be suddenly released on the factious, both in the government and in the church. And Amber received this text this morning by faith at random. Watch how they fit. How all of these fit together. It's just astounding. Isaiah 30, I'm going to read 9 through 14. For it is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, that say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. They never want correction. A good many of them have rejection. And rejection, you know, with impatience and witchcraft, rebels against any correction, no matter how gracefully it's given. If you stop a man from seducing a married woman, and he explodes on you, and if you warn him several times and he still does it and he explodes on you, that's what you're seeing here. See, a person that cannot receive correction. Get you out of the way, turn aside, out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Yep, they don't want to hear correction, and what they will do is turn around and blame you for what they have done consistently. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word, and trust in oppressions and perverseness, and rely thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall. You know how the Lord said he had wrath stored up for the wicked, and that these people by their works were storing up wrath for the day of judgment, right? Well, here it is, in a high wall. Their wall that should be protecting them will be the very thing that will judge them, whose breaking cometh suddenly and in an instant. Don't know if you remember this a few years ago. In the wall at Jerusalem, just this very thing happened. It started swelling out and was about to burst out. Now, of course, they restored it and so on and so forth, but it was a warning of judgment. 14, and he shall break it as a potter's vessel is broken, breaking it in pieces without sparing, so that there shall not be found among the pieces thereof a sherd wherewith to take fire from the hearth, or to dip up water out of the cistern. Okay, a vessel being broken, and irreparably, as we saw. Eve had a dream of this bulging wall of stored judgment on the faction this morning. And it was on people on the left side of the room. You remember, like the wall daubed with untempered mortar by the false leaders? That they thought they had safety from the judgment of God? In other words, the wall. But they didn't. It was going to fall on them. Yes. The potter's vessel is broken, breaking it in pieces without sparing, he said. And she had this morning, and this came this morning too. Both of these came this morning. And the rest of these came this morning. So here's the dream that Eve Brast had this morning. It started out with me standing in the backyard of a house. And Leon and I were watching this 10-year-old little boy with brown hair and a coon skin cap. You know what a coon skin cap represents? A thief. We had somebody steal what did not belong to them. Several people that worked with them to do that, to steal, all of them factious, what did not belong to them. It belonged to God's people who had paid for it, who had supported us to bring this word forth, and they stole it from them. They had no care whatsoever. All of these people once thought these were treasures, but as faction took them over because of unforgiveness towards others and bitterness set in, they didn't care. If it didn't prosper them in their evil way, they would destroy it. And not only that, the leader thought he was going to steal your money out of UBM's bank, and he failed. And we know exactly who it is. We have the proof of it. And who destroyed the site, we have the proof of it. Everything. Anyway, this guy with the coon, you know why I say a burglar? You know, a coon has the mask on, right? So if it's a coon skin cap, he's got the mask on. He's a thief. Running around being mischievous. Yes, that's what he did. Immature, factious, destroyer. That's what he was. Leon was perturbed with him, and I was worried that he was going to get hurt or do damage to the property, which he did. It wasn't his property, but he did, and we can prove it. He was driving an ATV around with dead branches. In other words, no fruit or leaves to take in the sun so that it could make fruit. They weren't taking in the sun anymore. Dead branches. Broken off branches, right? And dirty oil rags and a red plastic gasoline can on the back. He then started a fire on the other side of the fence to the backyard. And I was taken in the spirit for an up-close look, and I saw that he had made a brush pile and had set it on fire. It was only smoldering in the beginning as he drove off from it. It was smoldering when he left us too. He then parked his ATV under a pavilion in the backyard of the house. In other words, waiting for the fire to take effect, right? And of course he was under the pavilion trying to hide who did it. But no, we know who did it. And suddenly, as I watched the brush pile, it burst into flames. Leon and I both confronted the boy about starting the fire, and he said, "I don't care, it doesn't affect me." In other words, he wasn't partaking of the word anyway. That's the facts. This I know, and that's one reason he got in trouble. Suddenly, the brush fire was supernaturally put out, but the embers were blown into the thatched roof of the pavilion that the boy had parked under, and its roof burst into flames. What does that sound like? Like what we just talked about. Now, of course, he's going to reap what he has sown. The trap that he laid for others will catch himself. He became worried that the fire had gotten out of hand and morphed into a man with deep auburn red hair and a red beard. That's a description of Esau. And, of course, those that follow him, the Edomites, the Edomite brethren, who sold their birthright through a root of bitterness, as Paul said. And these, of course, are people that he drug into his federal crimes with him. And as he ran towards us with concern about what he'd done, because now it was affecting him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He stood before us and was worried as he looked to us to help him. But we felt we couldn't help him. And that, of course, was because that God had pronounced the judgment supernaturally, as the verses I shared with you in the beginning. That's the word of the Lord. It is spoken. It will come to pass. And then in the next portion of the dream, I was inside the house, and there were only two rooms in the house, divided by a wall. Well, that's kind of like our dreams of the faction on the left as a stunted people, and the righteous on the right who were tall and glorious. One sister had a dream of a house. Half of the house was sitting on solid ground. The other half was hanging over the edge of a cliff. The house had a crack starting to run down the middle from the top to the bottom, and it was weakening and getting ready to fall. Well, in the left side of the house were these stunted people, like pygmies. In other words, they hadn't grown up. They were stunted. And they were angry and mad and speaking evil and trying to get at the people who were on the right. That's the goats on the left, the sheep on the right. They were trying to get at the people on the right. But they couldn't, because there was a door on a wall between them, and it had no doorknob. Meaning, and the people on the right, by the way, were tall and glorious. And in other words, they had grown up, matured, come into the image of Christ, and so on. The people on the left, stunted, wanted to get at them. Tried to get at them. That's what they do. They try to get at you with the slander to test you to see if you're going to obey the scriptures or not concerning factious people. And if you don't, well, it just takes you out, right? So, anyway, the house was cracking down the middle and about to fall off. And that reminds us of this house that had two rooms, one on the left, one on the right. And the ones on the left, which represents the goats, well, that's the faction. And it gives this text here, James 3, 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good life his works in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and faction in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. Why does he say that? Because he knows that's what happens with factious people. Bitter jealousy, glorying, in other words, pride, and lying against the truth. This wisdom is not a wisdom that cometh down from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Yes, it is. It's devilish. And notice, nothing has really changed from the time that James wrote this. Nothing has changed. From the beginning, God has turned people who are unforgiving and judge their brother over to the tormentors to pay what was due. And he turns them over to a reprobate mind, according to Romans chapter 1, so that they do things that are unbefitting. And you'll notice in Romans 1, it talks about a lot of lust and perverse lust, which is what these people come into. And verse 16 says, "For where jealousy and faction are, there is confusion and every vile deed." Yes, we have seen it. And there's no conscience there whatsoever. Every vile deed. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, and full of mercy and good fruits. without variance and without hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is one of the major things that sticks out with the faction, because everything they're accusing the righteous of, they are doing in a worse way. And I mean a really worse way. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for them that make peace. Of course, every time we try to make peace with them and they refuse and run off, we've never actually told people to leave. They just leave because they're angry and unforgiving and bitter, because usually because their sin has been found out by someone. And of course we know in 1 Corinthians 5 that you're supposed to separate from people that do outward immorality commanded of the Lord. But you know, we've never really had to do that with the faction. Once they're discovered, they run. People have accused us, well, you're getting rid. No, we're not. We don't have to. They run. Their demons tell them, don't talk to David. That's right. That's actually given to a brother who later fell into faction. The demon said, don't talk to David. In other words, you can talk about him, but you don't talk to him, because that's dangerous. The demons could lose their house. Besides, it's easier for them to hide in darkness and shoot from darkness, like the Bible says that they do. So she said, with an open doorway between the two rooms. Now that's a little bit different. So it was for her to go back and forth and to look at both sides of the wall, though. You know, it wasn't for them to pass through. The walls were painted a pastel yellow color. She says the color of the sun, representing the house of the sun, S-O-N. There were oval antique pictures of people who lived in the past hanging on the walls in both rooms. And she wrote our spiritual forefathers from the past. And I wrote both factious and righteous, because it was in both rooms. See, both will walk in the steps of their fathers, as Jesus said. Jesus spoke of the Pharisees, who were very factious. He said that they did the works of their fathers. They said, we have one father. Hey, if Abraham was your father, you'd love me. That's what Jesus said. And it's still the same. On the left side of the house, in other words, in the left room, it says, the goats, of course, you know, were put on the left. I could see a large bulge in the wall near the ceiling going down about midway down the wall. So, again, there's a wall in between the righteous and the wicked. But there's a bulge on the wall in the left side of the house, in the left room. And this is the swelling out in a high wall of Amber's word that we just shared with you about the judgment on the factious goats. We got both of these the same morning. You know, God is speaking. Some people don't like me talking about faction, but it might save their lives if they would listen. And if you sit and watch that faction in the government on TV and watch those crazy people running around, don't even know what they're against, but they're just against. They can't give any reasonable answer because they don't have any reason. You'll get the same thing they got. So it was about 4 feet wide by 6 feet long. And I think it was something like that that was in the wall at Jerusalem, you know. Something about that size. I only saw a picture of it, so I couldn't tell for sure. But and I thought, Eve said, I thought, oh, that doesn't look good. That could be dangerous to anyone entering this room. Mm-hmm. The room on the left, the room of the goats. Then I went through the doorway to the right side of the house and studied the wall from the right side, and it was plumb and normal, no defects at all. So there's no judgment on the righteous sheep on the right side of the house. Okay. But the people on the left, anybody that goes there is in danger. Danger. So you know judgment is coming. Look what God is saying. Pay attention to what God is saying here. And then I went back to the left side to see if I had really seen what I had seen. And sure enough, the bulge was still there and progressively getting worse. I could see the red bricks starting to make their impressions through the sheetrock. And I knew that the wall had sustained bad water damage coming down from the roof and running in between the two layers of bricks that made up the wall. The mortar had decayed and deteriorated, and it seemed as if the left wall would collapse soon. Okay, so the water of the Word judges the sanctification of the wall. It tests the sanctification of the wall, because a wall means separation, and so does sanctification means separation. Notice, those who have good separation from the factious are not in danger. Those that enter their room are in great danger, and it's going to come suddenly. I kept comparing the left side of the wall to the right side and asking myself, how can this be that the left side is damaged but the right side is intact? And this is the word that she got, 2 Peter 2:9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment unto the day of judgment. And then I woke up. Well, you don't want to get in that trap. You're staying under punishment until the day of judgment. The wrath that God stored up for unrighteous men to be released upon them. Now, I'm going to share the verses that were given this morning by faith at random. That's 8:26-18, that tell the same story of the factious kids' destruction of the words of God. Okay, this is Sue. She received this text this morning by faith at random, Jeremiah 36. I'll read from verse 1. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel. Or, you know, Israel represents the church, right? It was God's Old Testament church. It was the people of God. And in the New Testament, it's only those who are circumcised in heart, right? And against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day, all the nations. Folks, there is an explosion of right-wing fervor exploding over the world as they see the craziness out there. Governments are being taken over by Trump, in a way. As you know, Cyrus was the ruler of the world. And it wasn't just the people of God in Babylon. He was the known ruler in that day. And so, and we'll look at a verse concerning that too. So, from the days of Josiah even unto this day, it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I propose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon the roll of the book. Now I'm going to tell you what the Lord showed us already about this text. Is it's talking about all the words that the Lord has stored up, all the revelations that we've received about him storing up, like Joseph's silos, the grain for the coming famine that is coming. And it's like the wicked running around doing their best to destroy the word of the Lord. So the scribes wrote faithfully and put the word out there, right? So then I'm going to go down to verse 21 and read a little bit more. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes that stood beside the king. Now the king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month. He was the head over the rebels that was against the word of God, was against the man of God who spoke the words of God, and was going to do anything he could to destroy him. And he represents factious leadership. And there was a fire in the brazier burning before him. And it came to pass when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, that the king cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was in the brazier, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was in the brazier. So when we heard about this morning, in the first few words, literally, the Lord spoke to me the name of the man that did this. And I spoke it out, and everybody knew immediately what this was all about. The factious kid destroyed the scroll, the word given to us to warn and feed God's people. But the scribes are, of course, bringing the word back. And it goes on to say, and they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants. Yes, he's got some factious servants working with him, and they're just so proud of what he did. They're wicked too, of course. And nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Moreover, Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. The king commanded Jeremiel, the king's son, and Sariah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdeel, to take Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. But the Lord had hid them. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the scroll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write in it all the words, the former words, that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim the king of Judah hath burned. Well, then Denny received again by faith at random Jeremiah 36, the same context, 27 through 31. What's the chances? It's a big book, you know. So Jeremiah 36, 27 through 31. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll. You know, this happens to us. One person will get a text and then someone else will get the rest of the text. Yeah. And the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write it in all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim the king of Judah hath burned. And concerning Jehoiakim king of Judah, thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and that's what we believe is going to happen, by the way, the deep state, right? And shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Yes, I think God is going to use the deep state false flag to judge the faction in government and in church. Verse 30, therefore thus saith the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David. Now, this brother had an ambition to be in the man-child. But we just discovered here that it's too late for that. He will have no fruit of the man-child. And his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity. Now remember what he said in the beginning, that he gave this warning that was destroyed in hopes that the people who heard it would repent and wouldn't have to go through this. Okay? And I will punish him and his seed, his servants, for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, that's apostate Jerusalem, the false Jerusalem, the unborn again Jerusalem, is not born again Jerusalem, right? And upon the men of Judah, all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearkened not. So, the apostate false leadership, which of course was Jerusalem, the false bride, if you will. We've had revelations about that. They're on the site of faction, and it's being judged. Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch, the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many like words. So, back to the dream we had in the beginning. The factious kid destroyed the scroll, but the scribes are bringing it back. Anybody like to help? You can help by your prayers for sure. But we also had a revelation that there would be a death, burial, and resurrection of UBM. And so the wicked, even though God uses vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor to fulfill what he wants to do, it's happening. It's a crucifixion, sure, because everything that happened back in the Gospels and in the book of Acts is happening again. Can't you see it? So Merlene received this text this morning by faith at random that tells the same story. Deuteronomy 9, and let's see, we're going to read 10 through 17. And the Lord delivered unto me the two tables of stone written with the finger of God. On them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake with you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. Now, we know what Paul spoke about these tables of stone, a hearts of flesh, writing the word of God on hearts of flesh, right? I mean, not only was this the written word of God, but it also represents, you know, what the Lord is doing as far as writing that word on people's hearts. Now, you want to know why the Lord is holding the faction guilty of the blood of the saints? Because they've done everything they could to destroy the people that are doing the work, the scribes. They tried to get this scribe, right? And the speaker, this Jeremiah text we just read, they tried to do everything against them, prayed against them, did everything they could to try to stop the word going forth. And yet it comes right out of the Bible. And so does this. Everything we're reading is right out of the Bible. Notice, right? And they want to destroy that. You say, how could a people be so stupid that what they once saw came from God, now because of their self-will and anger, it's to be destroyed? Whose side do they think they're on? Well, that's what a reprobate mind is. No conscience. And it came to pass in the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me the two tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant. Amen. The two witnesses, tables and witnesses, right, are the same. And the Lord said unto me, arise and get thee down quickly from hence, for thy people that thou hast brought forth out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten image. Yep. Now, who made the molten image when the people of God rebelled against the house of David? Jeroboam. He was the factious leader. It cost him his life, his eternal life. And he fought against the house of David to try to stop. And, of course, the house of David was the one who had the temple. They had the presence of God. And since they had it, Jeroboam didn't want God's people to go there to be around the temple of God. So he made his molten images, right? So this is repeated, of course, from the time of Moses, which is what we're reading now. They made them a molten image. Furthermore, the Lord spake unto me, saying, I have seen this people, and behold, this is a stiff-necked people. Let me alone, that I may destroy them, and blot out their name from under heaven. And I will make of thee a nation mightier and greater than they. So I turned and came down from the mount, and the mount was burning with fire. There it is again. And the two tables of the covenant were in my two hands. And I looked, and behold, you had sinned against the Lord your God. You had made you a molten calf, just like Jeroboam did twice. You had turned aside quickly out of the way which the Lord had commanded you. And I took hold of the two tables and cast them out of my two hands and brake them before their eyes. What was the symbolism here? That they had broken the law of the Lord. They had destroyed the word of God. Like the factious kid destroyed the two tables of the written word, but the scribes are bringing it back. Amen. And better than ever, as people are discovering. So, in the same meeting this morning, Leon received this text by faith at random. 1 Kings 8. We'll read 5 through 11. Usually the place where they put their finger is somewhere in the middle, but we get the full context of what's said, plus we emphasize what's in the middle. In this case, it was verse 7. I'll read 5 through 11. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted nor numbered for multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto its place. Well, you know who the ark of the covenant of the Lord is. It's the Lord, right? You know, he's going to suddenly come to his temple. That's what the Bible says. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, Malachi said. The day before this morning, yesterday, we had a revelation concerning that. And I may share that with you next time. It's very interesting. So here we go. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord unto its place, that is, in the temple of God, in the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. See, yesterday we had two revelations, or one revelation about bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the temple. And probably share that with you later. And the priests brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord into its place, or unto its place, in the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread forth their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim covered the ark, and the staves thereof above. And the staves were so long that the ends of the staves were seen from the holy place before the oracle. But they were not seen without, and there they are unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone which Moses put there at Horeb. That's what was in the ark. The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord that they broke. The word of the Lord that was on our site that they took down. This factious kid took down. And of course the videos and stuff. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone which Moses put there at Horeb. Now, those tables of the word written, according to Paul, on the hearts were restored after the first were broken by the wicked. Whoa, are we seeing something here? Very interesting. This is the restored word of the Lord. And when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt, of course, being born again, coming out of the land of Egypt, are kind of synonymous, right? There's a Passover there where the lamb took your punishment and you were set free, right? And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Okay, so when this, the ark with the tables of stone in the heart of it, brought in, the glory filled the house of the Lord. Now, we know who the house of the Lord is. It's the people of God, right? It's not a building made with man's hands. So, that word that they broke, that was in the midst of the ark, is what made the ark what it was, and that was holy in the midst of the temple. It was the presence of God. The presence of God is the Word. When Jesus comes back, don't you know what was written on him? The Word of God. The Word of God. The wicked are destroying the Word of God to keep people from reading it. Debbie got the same text yesterday, but in Chronicles instead of 1 Kings. Got the same text. What's the chances, huh? Okay, let's keep going. Brandy received this text this morning by faith at random about the judgment of the wicked. Isaiah 28. We're going to read 16 through 22. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone of sure foundation. Of course, we know that was Jesus. Now, and remember also that Jesus came in a way that was going to be repeated. He said, you're going to see me again, right? As a baby born to a woman. That's what he said. You're going to see me again. And they didn't understand that, but when you read all the way through the book, it's the man child in Revelation 12 that they see again as a baby born to a woman. So, the things that happened to Jesus, of course, are repeated because the things that have been are the things that shall be. Except Jesus came in a body of the Son of David, the Son of God in the Son of Man, the seed of the woman. Remember, David's seed that came through the woman, Mary, is what brought forth the body of the Son of David, in whom the Son of God lived. We've got the same picture these days is happening. The Son of God is coming in the Son of David. A larger body, because now it's a corporate body church around the world and not just little individual Israel in the Middle East, right? So he said, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. Jesus was a rock, a stone, a precious cornerstone of sure foundation. He laid a sure foundation. And he was very particular in raising up a few apostles to go forth to confirm and relay this message all the way down to us. And of course, when we speak the same message, it's the same message. And it comes from who? God. Who laid the foundation? God, by Jesus. He that believeth shall not be in haste. Amen. And I will make justice the line, and righteousness the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. This judgment that's coming is going to sweep away all the lies. Everything is going to be known. And the water shall overflow the hiding place. The waters of judgment shall overflow the hiding place. That place where people hide themselves from the judgment of God. They will not be able to hide. He knows who's done this destruction to his word that was for his people, that was paid for by his people, by the way. Was supported by his people who grieved concerning this evil thing, this man with a few supporters did. He went back to the faction that he came out of, and this evil thing, God considers evil, he's going to do something about it. Notice, we didn't do this, God did this. That's the only way you could make all of these things fit together. And he goes on to say, and your covenant with death shall be annulled, and your agreement with Sheol shall not stand. Well, that's what they have, is a covenant of death. But it won't work. And when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then shall you be trodden down by it. Clearly, God is saying the same thing. Jesus was the stone that the builders rejected. Joseph was the stone that the builders rejected. Remember that Paul talked about the Spirit of Christ which was in them. Talking about the prophets and people who represented Jesus to the people. How many man-childs are there in the Old Testament before coming to the first one in the New Testament, who was Jesus? There were many. They were all opposed and hated and maligned and spoken against. And judgment came on the people who did this in every case. Now they think they're going to get out of it. No, it's not going to happen. And when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then shall ye be trodden down by it. As often as it passeth through, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass through, by day and by night. And it shall be naught but terror to understand the message. For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrow than he can wrap himself in it. In other words, there is no rest in that bed. They have not entered into the rest because they don't believe the word of God. They are miserable. For the Lord will rise up as in Mount Perazim. He will be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now, therefore, be ye not scoffers, lest your bonds be made strong. For a decree of destruction have I heard from the Lord of hosts, upon the whole earth. Folks, there are some leaders out there from other parts of the world who are taking their place and standing beside Trump to overthrow the factious deep state, which is in all of the world. And I think it's, if you go to what does it mean, it was, at least today, it was the last thing that they wrote about, these leaders coming together. The people out there are getting fed up with the rape and the murder and the acid and all the invasion that their foolish leaders, who were appeasing the factious spirit and got it and didn't care about their own people and don't care about their own people. And their people are seeing this and they are rebelling. And Trump is helping them. So that last article by What Does It Mean is very good concerning all of this and the people that are coming together now to side with him and to help the cause. Eve received this text, again, this morning, by faith at random, Psalm 118, 22 through 29, and in total agreement with the verse we just read, the text we just read. The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. The stone which the builders rejected. The builders are the people who are supposed to be using the word to bring God's people into that holy temple in the Lord. But just as their forefathers rejected the stone, because when you reject someone who's speaking the word of God to you, but your lusts are more important to you than obeying the word of God, and you totally ignore what they say, and then you're turned over to a reprobate mind to do the same thing as your forefathers did in rejecting the head, who is Jesus Christ, in whomever the word of God is spoken from. It makes no difference. You're still rejecting him. Then judgment comes for you. And the factious leaders rejected the one God ordained to be head, just as throughout history, Christ the Word in his man-childs of Daniel and Joseph and David and Jesus and the end-time man-child of Jesus in them, they're always doing what is proven to be their forefathers' works. You prove who you are a son of. I had one of them tell me, that he was like a son to me, and I was like a father to him. There was a time that that was true. But I know that the seed that I sowed is not in the man. I pray it will be again one day, but I know that he's not my offspring. Verse 23, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. See, God created the leadership in all these generations, and Christ was in them, being the head, and they were all rebelled against because the people had their own lusts, their own idols, so on and so forth. And it's marvelous because this is the way God proves who is who. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, we beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Cometh in the name of the Lord? Who came in the name of the Father? Jesus did. And who come in the name of Jesus? Well, those disciples did. Those apostles did. What did they do to them? They killed them. Just like they killed their spiritual forefather, Jesus. Just like they proved that they were sons of perdition. Judas's, etc. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. What was in the house of the Lord? The tables of the testimony. The word of God. The Lord is God, and he hath given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. What do you think that represents? Do you think it represents these leaders who walked in the steps of Jesus all being crucified by their apostate false leadership, who factioned against them for jealousy, for lust, for all those reasons, and every vile deed? Thou art my God, and I will give thanks unto thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness endureth forever. Amen. How awesome this revelation has been. Now I'm going to give you another one. Lakeisha Davis got a revelation of escaping the judgment of the wicked. Yes, you can follow the Holy Spirit, and he will cause you to escape. And of course, Psalm 91, we claim him to be our refuge. We have made the Most High our refuge, right? And he'll give his angels charge over you to guard you in all your way, right? So Lakeisha Davis got this on the 6th of this month. And it was about the same thing, like Merlene's dream. She said, I had a serious dream. I was outside in a field with a few people. Jesus said, the field is the world. We are in the world. We're not to be of the world, but we're in the world. And in the world, you're going to have tribulation, the Bible says. So, Jesus said, right? There was a tiger outside. Tiger. Well, let's see now. That's a popular symbol for Asian nations. Especially China, which in a way has helped the deep state. And because Trump is costing them a lot of money. Now, in a way, I got to tell you that China does not like the deep state because they are competition and they're crazy. They have to keep making war in order to bring money into their war chests. They don't care who they make it with. Of course, they're trying to pick on Russia and have a big war that kills a lot of people. See, they believe in sacrificing people because they're Satanists. And that's how they get power, is to sacrifice the lives of people. That's what they believe, right? It looked ready to hunt, so I jumped on top of a big tent frame. Maybe that's the wilderness house of God, right? The tent frame. A blonde-haired woman came dodging the tiger, too. Now we wonder if this is not the bride or representing of the bride. More people appeared but weren't able to get on the tent. That sounded like some people who fell in the lion's den. So the bride, we know, escapes the beast, as in the Sennacherib Assyrian attack on Jerusalem and the northern army in Joel 2. She said there were a lot of people at this building, this big building, with white walls. White walls represent sanctification and safety, right? When I saw the tiger was distracted, I made a run straight to the big building. The big building with the white walls, right, of sanctification. I hope a lot of people, when these judgments begin to fall, will do that. She said maybe it was a hospital or a church, but remember, the church is a hospital for sick people, spiritually speaking. But bad things started to happen. First, one female tiger appeared and started to attack people. Everyone was running. I found a few safe areas in one big room where people were trying to wait it out. I found a door to a room full of orchestra instruments, so I grabbed a violin so I could sing praises to God during this time. Well, that's a great way to stay in safety, actually. Praising God, giving thanks to God. He hears that. Eventually, we made it to that big room. There was now the main tiger and her two adult-looking cubs, but I thought, possibly, there's not enough food to last. Then I saw Brian. Brian's her husband. And I asked him where he was going, and I yelled so he could hear me. He was downstairs. And he said that he was leaving because he was sick. We have heard, you know, from the Lord that they're going to use biological weapons, which, of course, you know, God's people don't have to worry about. We have a Passover lamb. And he said, no plague will be upon you to destroy you if you believe in the Passover lamb. And Exodus 15 and 26, he says, I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. All right? I ran after him and said, I'm going with you. If I have to die, I want to die with you. A very few decided to leave, and when we stepped outside, I was worried about losing my ID card. But a red-haired woman who somehow grabbed my purse for me, and I was very grateful. Well, in such a time, having no ID under martial law, which is likely to happen, as we've said, could bring detention, a kind of a detention that would not be necessarily healthy. We started our journey off, I think, less than 10 people. One of the male leaders said, watch out for snakes, and had a big wooden stick to beat them with. Well, amen. We know what snakes are, right? They're demonic activity, right? a warning to war against demonic activity here. We made it to the side of a ledge or a cliff and saw the skylight up with a great rain of meteor showers and pockets of steam coming from the earth. Could that mean that some obviously are puncturing the outer crust and entering into the water table? I don't know. Could be, but we do expect this. And it could be around the time of Planet X, which they don't believe in, but history certainly points out. I was concerned for us at local UVM because of that fire coming towards us. But then I think I saw a vision of David in the dream with the lava around his feet, showing that it couldn't hurt us as long as we trusted in God. Yes, faith and a clear conscience will protect the saints, right? They'll have boldness before God, according to the Word. Amen? We knew we had to hurry and continue our journey, and I was debating about whether to turn left and go back to that building, but decided not to since it was going to be destroyed. Yes, a person must follow the Holy Spirit and not to keep company with those in sin that are under the curse. And if you hang out with a bunch of sinners, you're likely to get judged because they're under the curse. I was sad for all the people with no way to warn them, but we, Brian and myself, followed our leader, and I think his family. His children were blonde, one young boy and two young girls. So the children of the leader were submitted to the light. That's what their blonde hair represents. We had to walk through some rising waters, and the children were having problems keeping up, so Brian and I helped them, and their dad was very grateful. And we all made it. And I remember us being in a car in Tennessee headed towards the valley, the Tennessee Valley. And I thought said, thank God for the valley refuge, she said, right? Well, amen. We know that's going to happen for some. And I was almost in tears in the dream. I can't remember, but either I thought or it was a woman from our church that said it would be a long while before the lava meteor shower event came to the refuge. It sounded like years to me. In other words, that judgment won't reach the refuge. I do believe that there is a time in the beginning of the tribulation period where God's people are going to be protected and taught. Again, the tribulation period starts after this time of judgment that we're talking about here. And they are working on the covenant, by the way. Don't know if you've noticed or heard about that. They're keeping it secret, which is what the Lord told us years ago they were going to do, is keep it secret. But they're working on it. And they seem pretty enthused about it, actually. So this covenant that's coming is going to symbolize both the beginning of the tribulation period and the coming of the man-child and all these things. Brian and I made it home to a white house in a neighborhood and got out of the car. And I asked God for a word, and my finger landed on a blank spot between Psalm 112, 8 and 9. In context, Psalm 112, 7 through 10. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. his heart is established, he shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his adversaries. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the needy. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. So he's talking about, of course, the righteous who escape this coming judgment and the wicked who don't. And that's what this dream was all about. The righteous who escape and the wicked who don't. And of course, those who have worked for the devil in seeking to destroy God's good word, God's truths, are going to be judged. We've seen that. So, Father, we're asking you in the name of Jesus, if you would grant those who are your elect repentance concerning these words that you have sent us today. And help us to rebuild this born again ministry. And thank you so much, Lord. You've shown us your favor. You've blessed us mightily. We're enjoying doing the work. We have some helpers. We could use some more. But we thank you so much, Lord, for doing this. And Lord, if sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Lord, we know you chasten every son that you receive. And I can see some people under chastening. And I'm not sure about which ones will repent. We have had some revelations that some will. And promises that some will, that don't necessarily come to pass, because a promise is a promise that must be believed in and acted upon. Just as a warning is a warning that will bring judgment if not acted upon. And we see, Lord, that judgments spoken against individuals can be changed by their change of heart, change of life, change of desires, humbling themselves to the Word of God. So we thank you for that, Lord. We're asking you for mercy for those who are under judgment now and don't see. They don't have eyes to see or ears to hear because you've closed them, just like you spoke to the disciples. They wanted their brethren to understand and to see and to hear, but Jesus said, it's not given unto them. Unto you it's been given. And so, Lord, we pray for those that are your elect, those that will ultimately be chosen for their fruit. We pray for them, Lord, that you will bring them out from under this deception and curse, that you will deliver them from evil men who are taking advantage of them, using demons to keep them in bondage, and used of demons to keep them in bondage. So, Lord, we're asking you, Father, to have mercy upon your people and pour forth of your Spirit and grant grace and revival. We believe, Lord, that after this judgment, at the end of this judgment, is coming a wonderful revival, a powerful revival, because the fear of the Lord has been restored. And that's the beginning of wisdom. So, Lord, we thank you for restoring the fear of the Lord, the deliverance of your people from their sleepiness. Lord, let them open their eyes and see that things aren't as they used to be. There are great changes out there. There's great darkness, as was pointed out in these dreams. Great darkness. No light given to people. People have been turned over to reprobation and darkness. They can't see the light. Others will come to repentance. Many people will come to repentance out of the world and see and understand these witnesses and these testimonies of your judgment against evil people who claim to be yours, and of your blessing and deliverance of people who were yours. And this will make an effect on this revival. This will be a testimony unto multitudes of people, just as we've read in the text. Father, we thank you for your great mercy towards us. We thank you for drawing us unto yourself. We thank you, Lord, that when we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We thank you, Lord, for drawing the people unto you. And, of course, keeping the wicked under judgment until the day of wrath is released. Because there are some that have never been chosen by you. But they were a test for your people. The tares among the wheat. And the falling away will reveal who the son of perdition is. And the son of perdition who is hidden in the midst, just like Judas, who was called the son of perdition, and was hidden in the midst, and nobody knew who he was. Nobody knew Judas was the one. They even asked, "Is it I? Is it I?" They didn't know if it was them, you know. They didn't know it was Judas. He was hidden in the midst. But when the falling away came, the son of perdition was revealed. And so it is in these days. And we know, Lord, that you're gathering together into bundles the tares to burn them. And you're cleansing your people to be a righteous people, to bring forth a great witness and a testimony of what Christianity is truly like. You're people who will have power and anointing and a love for serving you and are not tempted by the lust of the world, because these things have led them astray in the past. And they understand that we're here to serve our King and our Master and keep His word, every jot and tittle of His word. Thank you, Father, for bringing forth the power of the revelation of your word through your people. Thank you for giving dreams and visions and revelations of the word brought together to show us what's going on. Thank you that your people will never walk in darkness, but they will walk in the light of your word, the light of your love. And thank you for leading us, Lord, through this judgment that's coming. And that the righteous will escape. Pray that you be counted worthy to escape all these things. Right? The scripture says. So, Lord, we pray that for your righteous people, that they all will escape all these things. By following you. By following the true leadership that you have chosen. We thank you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name. Well, you know, when the man-child ministry comes, when he suddenly comes to his temple, there are going to be a lot of people that are just dried up as far as their ministry is concerned, but there's also going to be a lot of people who are going to have signs and wonders to confirm who they are, to confirm the word that they speak. the powerful words that they speak will come to pass, and these people will be seen, you know, by God's people as a way out of judgment. Much like Moses led the people through the Red Sea and out the other side and into the wilderness, and the Egyptians were judged at the Red Sea, they didn't follow them into the wilderness, and the people, of course, were empowered by the fact that the old man was crucified in that baptism of the Red Sea, and now they're free to follow the Lord. So many in bondage out there that are going to discover their freedom with the baptism in the sea and the baptism in the cloud. Their freedom, their deliverance. So, Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. We thank you that you have set the captives free and we can believe in it and trust in it. Thank you for delivering your people from among the faction too, Lord, because many of them were beguiled by these wicked people. And we ask you, Lord, to beguile the hearts of the innocent. Some of them were beguiled and because of ignorance, but you've humbled them, and we thank you for bringing them through this and delivering them. In Jesus' name. All right, saints, God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll do this again sometime. Lord bless you. Bye-bye.